This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Welcome to Making Yourself at Home at 104.4 FM, Access Radio Taranaki, your voice, your choice. We are here with myself, Brian, Alina from Romania, Maria from Venezuela, and our special guest, Yasi from Iran.
Yes. Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for coming today.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, yes. And today we have our guest, Yasi. She's originally from Iran, and I met Yasi, I think, a few weeks ago when I was going to a yoga class, and I really enjoyed her moves. I'm trying to be as good as Yasi, but I don't think I can do so many headstands. She's really good in that. So she came in Aotearoa, and before she was living in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, for a few years, which obviously shaped her way of understanding community culture and belonging. In 2023, she moved here in New Zealand because of her husband's work. And now she lives in New Plymouth. She has a master's degree in psychology and work as a yoga teacher, trainer at Reva Yoga, where I also met her. And she's also a well-being influencer.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just to clarify, your degree is in physiology?
Physiology, not psychology. Okay. Yeah. Physiology, yeah.
Mm. Cool.
Thank you for that, Brian.
You're welcome. A question popped up from your introduction there, Yasi. You said that your time in Kuala Lumpur really shaped how you felt about community.
And
can you unpack that a little bit for us here? I think that'd be a great way to start the show.
Yeah, sure. First of all, hello and kia ora to everyone. About the Malaysia, like, I didn't really have that sensation of like we're gonna leave the country, but then suddenly my husband came and said, oh yeah, I have a job offer there, so we moved there. It was so sudden. I wasn't really good at language. I didn't expect it, so I started going out without knowing anything about the country and about the culture, about the people. And I started to move around, especially on the bus, talk to people there, make friends there, and like ask people about the culture, about everything that happening there. And they started to invite me here and there. And I also found a yoga studio while I was traveling by bus here and there for, you know, to explore and to make myself comfortable in a new place. And then it was so beautiful to see how people can be welcoming when you are coming to a new country. Mm. It was so beautiful for me because, you know, my country, we don't have that much of a foreigner in our country. It's always us, like there's a lot of us. And when you always have the fear, if they don't accept me, or if I can't find friend, what if I can't find a job? But it was the moment that I find it that like people can be really nice, they can be really welcoming, they were like inviting, they like looking for a job for me even without I'm asking them. It was just so beautiful to see, like, even though, like, seriously, I've been talking like with sign languages, but still they've been trying their best to communicate with me, to have me, even though it was just, I feel like it's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult to welcome someone that you don't know. Mm. Yeah, that changed a lot about me.
So you moved there from Iran?
Yes.
And your husband's Iranian also?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. And I'm sure that experience helped you understand how to settle into Taranaki.
Oh, definitely.
Do you want to tell us about that?
The second one definitely was easier for me to adjust. Yeah.
So you moved here in what year?
2023, the beginning of, yeah.
Okay.
January.
So having had that experience in Kuala Lumpur, what did you do that you don't think you would have done having not had that experience?
Well, you know, if I weren't in Malaysia, I feel like it would be much harder for me to adjust to the culture, to the differences, to seeing different people with different view, different like type of life that they have, you know? Because we have 94 million population in our country, so it's very busy. It's like people are also like, they're always excited, happy, and they're dancing and shouting, and you know, it's just so different. Then when I moved to Malaysia, I learned quite a lot about different culture, different friends. Also, I had our next door neighbor was from New Zealand, from Taranaki. Really? Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So we've been like hanging a lot together, and I learned a lot about their culture, the way that they take life easy. You know, he was so easygoing, kind, and that helped me to, you know, trust that it's going to be the same when I'm coming to New Zealand. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, and also there is like quite a lot of differences, you know. In my country, when it's like people go for shopping at midnight.
Yeah.
And you eat around like 10 p.m., like the dinner time is 10 p.m. And then when I moved to Malaysia, the time for shopping, like they closed down around 10 p.m. So I was like, oh my God, they're closing down at 10.
And now it's 5 p.m.
And I feel like that it helped me imagine from that person of like a night owl going out, like partying all the time and doing all of those things, and then suddenly come to a place so calm and quiet. It might be a bit of a shock for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like that traveling first in Kuala Lumpur, living there and then coming to New Zealand was a really big help.
Yeah, it was. And I imagine that, you know, it was the same for me, you know, coming here and seeing everything was closing down at 5 p.m. and nobody on the streets coming from Bucharest, which is quite a busy city. It was a challenge.
Yeah. I have a story, like the first day that we arrived here, me and my husband, like, we wanted to go grab a bite. So we just confidently came out of our place at an Airbnb at 8 p.m. And everywhere was closed, like closed, darkness. And it was just so shocking. But that was a really good lesson to me as well. Like, you also need that balance of life, work life, you know? So, yeah, at the beginning it was hard, but the more I go forward, the more I feel like everywhere in the world should be like this.
Yes.
People need to chill, need to calm down a bit.
When did your yoga journey begin?
My yoga journey began around 2009, 2010. I started yoga pretty much with meditation and hatha yoga. And then later on, I find it's just so beautiful for all the problems that I had, anxiety, all of like other problems that I had. So I started to feel in love, like I am gonna spread this beautiful exercise, which is not just for your body. And I've been a spiritual being since childhood, but this one was, you know, like, oh, okay, so there is a job for me.
So you found a job with that, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you find that yoga a way
easy way to connect with people from other cultures?
For other, yes, definitely. Like there is, like, and the good thing about yoga is most of people have experienced yoga before. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're somewhere and you don't know what should you say,
yeah.
I'm a yoga teacher and there is everyone. It's like, oh, I've been to a yoga class, and they all share their experiences about it. And it's always like people have that thought about yoga teachers that they are easygoing, mm-hmm. they're kind, they're compassionate, so they can trust you better. And I find it a very good way to connect to people. And also, we have a big community, mm-hmm. so it was always easier for me to find friends because of yoga.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah,
nice. I know. Yeah. In New Plymouth, it's a big community with Areva Yoga, and it's a great studio. I've just started recently. Can you tell us a little bit more about that community and how it shapes, and what are you doing there?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I started following their Instagram account when I was in Malaysia. The moment
wow.
we did, yeah. And then when we decided to move here, I sent them email before we arrived. Yeah, so it take time. It was, this one also was something else that I find it in New Zealand, people would prefer to see you in person,
mm-hmm.
instead of it email. But in east part of the world, mostly people communicate with emails. They're not interested in seeing you that much. They want to see your CV,
mm-hmm.
and they were gonna decide based on that. But in here, I find it people want to see you, who
yes.
you are, and what are you doing, like how
mm-hmm.
you connect to others, how you can hold a community, you know, how you can hold space for others. And then yeah, that's when I met Zara,
mm-hmm.
which is a very beautiful person. Yeah, and she asked me to teach a class for her, and then subsequently we
yeah.
decided to, you know, teach more classes there. So I started teaching there, I feel like it was like 2 months or 3 months after I came to New Zealand, to New Plymouth.
Yeah, it was quite fast, right?
Yeah, it was
quite very fast. Wow, amazing.
I'm really good at finding jobs. And I was always lucky. Even in Malaysia, I was very lucky with people that
mm-hmm.
I met. So later on, it was different back then. Like it was post-COVID, like people was like more wanted a slow flow moving, like more like a very like serene class
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And then I was coming from Malaysia, that people wanted to sweat, to exercise, to do all those things, you know. So
yeah.
it was also a hard transition for me as well to find balance between
yes.
power and calm.
Mm.
Then, yeah, I adjusted myself. But I also find my own crowd. Like, I found people who love moving, who love
mm-hmm.
standing on their head and on
yes.
hands and do like all those funky movements. So there is a balance now, like, and I love the way that community look at me like I am a part of them. Like
mm-hmm.
I never ever felt different in New Zealand.
Mm.
Yeah.
Never. I never felt that I am a foreigner. I always felt that I'm home.
Mm.
I really can say that. Like, I've never felt like that in other countries.
Wow.
But I really
yeah.
felt, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think contributed to that?
The understanding of people. I never felt, they're like, oh, you're from Iran. Or like, you know, like there wasn't certain question, like, what is your religion?
Mm.
What, where are you from? Like, they never asked. Like, I was like openly come to the class. I was like, oh, I'm Yassi, I'm from Iran. I was the one who introducing myself, and I never felt pressured, or I never felt different. If, whenever there was a gathering, like, oh, Yassi, there is this one, or whenever it was like a community things,
mm-hmm.
they were always having me like the others. And I've actually never thought about it. Like, this mm-hmm. is the first time I'm thinking, like, why? What is the difference? But yeah, like, also, there is one thing that people might not really look at it as a thing, but every class, after the class, they would stay and they talk to me.
Wow.
They were always like, how was your day? Like, mm-hmm. it's just a small talk, you mm-hmm. know, but that is the one that makes difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how was your day? How's your husband? Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, you're going to buy a house. And they were just so excited for me when I was going to get my residency. And they were, like, celebrating and bringing flowers, you know. Like, we can't wait to have you as our, you know, New Zealander, like our citizen.
And
I was just so touched with their words, you know, mm-hmm. the way that they were waiting for the moment to celebrate mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, yeah, all of those things make difference. The time that they spend for you and they remember. Mm-hmm. I love it about here. They remember whatever you're telling them. They're not just asking you to make it small talk. They're asking you because they want to follow up the next day. Mm-hmm. Oh, you said that. How was it? And
yes.
that's mm-hmm. the thing.
So nice. Yeah,
it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah. What is the thing that you like most from New Zealand so far and probably New Plymouth, Taranaki?
Nature.
Mm. Yeah, nature is
so beautiful. It's so similar to my hometown and in Iran, and it just gives me that sensation of, oh, I'm home. It's the same, even the temperature,
mm-hmm.
mountain, you have the cold weather, warm weather, sun, ocean, everything. And I love that. Yeah.
Can you tell us about where you grew up in Iran?
Oh, well, I've been moving my whole life.
I do too, yeah, that would be interesting.
I've been living in west part of Iran, Ahvaz, mm-hmm. which is a very hot region, like plus 50 degree
wow.
sometimes, yeah. And then up to 9 years old. And then after a war, Ahvaz is the city of my mom, like my mom born there. And then we moved to Yasuj,
mm-hmm.
Which is a city like here. There is like a winter and summer and also, but the temperature would go much lower than this one, like minus like 15, 20 sometimes.
Well, so it's big extremes, right? From
yes, big
plus
extremes.
Plus 50
yes.
to minus.
And then later on for university, I moved to Shiraz, like the wine.
Yeah,
yes, that city.
I'm about to ask
yeah.
you. Yes,
exactly.
Wine, wow.
Yeah, it's the grape is coming from that area. And then I met my husband there. And
oh,
then
amazing.
I lived there. I lived there before we moved to Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. And he's working which field?
He
can travel the world, right?
Yes, we can. Yeah, he is a industrial pipeline designer
yeah.
for water, oil, and gas. But he mostly work in water industry. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So before the show, you were talking, telling me about your online business ventures.
Yes.
You said you had produced a 200-hour yoga
teacher training,
and you had ventured into doing a second training that was more extensive. Can you talk about your experience? What inspired you to do the first training and the second training and the difference between the two?
Yeah. So, I will go a bit before
please.
The 200.
Yeah.
Spin us a yarn.
I was always so interested in yoga and philosophy, but with Iran, it was hard. It was hard to study those things. It was not allowed. Like, there was always like, oh no, don't go. Like, don't read that. Don't do that. And I was always interested to learn about it. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to Malaysia, I had that experience of, oh my God, this is so beautiful to be able to read, write, and tell whatever you want and do whatever you want. Like, then you can decide for yourself. And yoga is much more than that physical exercises, you know. Yeah. Then you can find out what is behind all of those poses. And then I wanted to share it. I really wanted to tell my Iranian students that it's much more than this. It's so bigger and it's interesting to know about it. And then I am one of those people who enjoyed COVID.
There's some space for you, right?
Yes. Yes. There was COVID, and then I haven't had anything to do. I was like, what should I do? And then let's record a training. So with my friend Kylie, we decided to record a 200-hour teacher training.
Wow.
So it was like a Yoga Alliance approved, internationally well-known certificate. So we decided to do it. So I started recording all those content, which I was talking to you. It was hard, right? It was like 200 hours talking and recording yourself, and you know, without having that human touch, even for yoga, that you need that community. But I was just closing my eyes. I was just pretending I'm in between all of my students, and I'm just telling them about all the yoga stuff. And then it turned out a very, very good, great training. We had more than 1,000, 2,000 students.
Wow,
yeah,
amazing.
Yes. And then like I started my social media exactly the same time. So it grew so fast, that one as well. Because I was the one that I had that opportunity to tell like all the things behind the yoga, and I had the privilege of being safe saying yes, you know. And then also I really loved funky stuff. I like, people really loved it, right? When you watch on social media, you love to see someone doing all those weird things like bending and twisting and turning and you know, doing inversion. So that helped me to grow so fast. Fast mean 1-2 years of hard work 24/7.
I imagine it
definitely
takes a while, right?
It's and also working as an influencer, it's a 24/7 thing.
Wow, so now you are on Instagram. Where can people find you if they want to participate?
Yeah, there is. On Instagram, there is Yasaman Yoga, Y-A-S-A-M-A-N Yoga, which is, my name is Yasaman there, basically, because it's hard to pronounce. I always call myself Yasi. And they can find me there. I am on YouTube as well. And better than that, you can join me on Riva. I would love to see you in person, because it's definitely feel different when you see someone doing yoga.
I think like for me it was quite a very nice, because I think I was coming one time or two times, and it was amazing to see how slowly and without any effort, you know. We have a gymnast in Romania. Her name is Nadia Comăneci. Maybe you know her, right? And you know, when I was looking at her, how she does her gymnastic, you know, it was like she has it in her blood. You know, she doesn't have to put any effort. So when I saw you, you know, and how you can twist around like without any effort, not even sweating, I was thinking, wow, how do you manage? You know,
it's a lot of hard work. And it's a life experience, you know. I wasn't like this when I started yoga. I was like everyone else, very stiff. I never was flexible. No flexibility.
Never. Wow. So how you managed to do that? Like
consistency.
Consistency
is the key. And also, like, you know, like I love it because you can be. You know, a yoga influencer or a yoga teacher doing all of those poses, but at the same time you can decide to sit down for hours and breathe. Like, I love that balance between these two. Like, I was always very bubbly outside. Like, I was just so excited always, as a normal Iranian. We are all like
that. Very
very excited, very, like, you know, outgoing. But then I found balance in yoga. Like, I could I can go in my headstand and start breathing there and find peace there. Mm. And I can sit down for an hour and meditate. Mm-hmm. And I can do yin yoga and stay in a pose for 5 minutes, or I can go for a vinyasa flow and move one breath, one movement, which is something nice.
Coming back to the online world and being influencer, that is a good thing that you were able to move from Malaysia to New Zealand and keep your channel and probably get more followers, I guess. So this is a nice thing about probably the online
it's pro and con, you know. It's just not always good. The first thing is you get so tired of not seeing people, like you want that emotional exchange and energy exchange. The first thing, you don't have that one. The second thing is, like, I work quite a lot with Iranians, and now they are cut off from internet for 15 days. So I haven't had an access to them for more than 15 days. And you just don't know what to do. Like, you're just so sad of all the things that are happening there. At the same time, you want to help. You want to make them calmer with all the bombs and everything. But at the same time, you don't have access to them, you know?
Yeah.
It's... Yeah.
That's a hard one, huh?
That's a really hard one,
Do you have family in Iran?
Yes. Yeah, my parents, my cousins, they're all living there. My sister is not, but yeah, I have quite lots of family there.
Had you been able to get more people from New Zealand out of Taranaki, get more followers from New Zealand?
This is also another difference. Like, I find it that people, they're interested, even though a lot of my contents are in Persian language, but still people are interested to follow you, to know you better. And even they're expressing, like, we want you to share more English
content, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, I think Brian had something in mind.
So I'm very interested in this, and I hope it doesn't cross over into the political sphere, but a lot of Iranians that I've interacted with, they are bubbly and outspoken and quite very intellectually engaged and spiritual outside of the typical. And I'm wondering, how does that work in Iran? Like, I'd imagine that the oppression might create that thirst to chase it up when you get a chance.
That's a really
good question.
It's a really good question. I think no. I think it's because of the past. We have 2,500 years of culture, and we have like great poems like Rumi, we have Hafiz, we have Sa'di, which they are all spiritual beings. They all, like, you know, Rumi, definitely, like, that you have read all of these sayings. So I feel like that Iranians are brave, you know, like they don't want to stay silent. They don't want to accept all that oppression. They are spiritual because since our childhood, our parents read poem for us. They start to talk about the spirituality, all those experiences. And like, I can remember we have a Yalda night, and on Yalda night it would be something like people get together and we celebrate, but the celebration is with poem. So our dad start to read poem and they start to explain what does that mean, and the meanings behind it sometimes is very spiritual, and it just gives you that. Even just reading Persian, like whenever we go to school with all those oppression, they need to teach us who was the poem in Iran or all those things. So you start to get interested. Like, our hobby in Iran, one of my hobby was going to tomb of Hafiz. Like, I was just going by his grave and I was reading poem. And you start to join different, you know, gatherings that people talk about these things.
So it sounds like that intellectual and curious spiritual nature is kind of, it's baked within that Persian DNA.
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe so, because there is quite lots of other countries that they are oppressed, but you don't see that much of spirituality on them. And I feel like it's because of, exactly, it's being on Iranians' DNA. They love it.
Do you have a do you have any poetry memorized? And if you do, would you like to recite maybe your favorite or one of your favorites that you know?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Maybe you can send one.
Yes,
maybe
I can
post
send
it.
One.
Okay.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about food, because I know that Iran, it's very similar, like with my country, with Romania, and you have lots of cheese that you, you know, you mentioned that you had breakfast with cheese. What is your favorite food, or what do you keep from Iran while you're here in New Zealand?
I keep everything. Like, we cook Iranian foods every day. So we have so many different foods because Iran is a big country, and we have, like, each city has its own dish. And my favorite is, like all the Iranians would say, is the same, korma sabzi, which is,
yeah,
like,
tell us about that. Yeah.
It's... there is rice always in our food, like rice separate from this stew, which is made of a mixture of vegetable, beans, meat, and a dried lime, and yeah, different spices.
Nice. So it's a vegetarian.
You can make it vegetarian, but there is meat in it. Yeah, okay. But Iranian, it's really hard for them to be vegetarian. All the foods, they have meat.
Okay.
Are you able to find all the ingredients in here?
In New Plymouth, it's a bit hard, but we usually go to Auckland. We buy from Persian shop, and we stock for about 2-3 months, and then we travel there again every 2-3 months.
Yeah. And is it a big Iranian community here in New Plymouth?
No.
Not anymore, right?
Not anymore, exactly.
It was a big Iranian community.
It was, yeah. But after the oil and gas industry went down, I feel like that most of Iranian, they went to Australia or like other cities in New Zealand. But I feel like that I know about 5 more families here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there is a family who has a tea. They have some tea stuff, right? They
just moved out.
Yeah,
they just moved out.
Oh, they also
out
moved.
Too.
Yeah. Okay.
they moved out about 2 months ago. Yeah, they went to Auckland.
Yes. But I imagine you have your own community with Iran, people from Iran, and also people all over the world.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I find myself, so, like, you know, like I can find friends easily. So.
Yes.
Like, I have one good friend, my best friend, from Malaysia, and another one from Canada, and the other one is from Australia, and one in New Zealand. So there is one all over the world. Yeah,
oh,
but it's
amazing.
Nice. Yeah, it's
that's
nice
amazing.
To see all different culture, different people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you miss the most from your country or from Malaysia? Because, of course, you lived there for a long time in Malaysia.
Yeah. From Malaysia, I definitely miss the food. It's the best food ever. I wouldn't eat Iranian food there. Like, I would love to go out and eat out. And about Iran, I miss speaking Persian in a Persian community. I miss that dance parties. Like, it doesn't matter. Whenever you get together in Iran, there is always dance. And I miss that dancing.
I miss dancing too. Like,
yes.
You know, like
we are together in the dancing class.
Yeah.
We do the Zumba.
Zumba.
I need to join.
Yes, you should join us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but dancing is a beautiful part of, I think, also our country, like Venezuela, also in, you know, Latin countries like Romania.
Yeah.
We always like to dance and be there for the people and connect with each other. Yes. So you are obviously a very easygoing person and you can connect very easy with everyone. And you mentioned also there is this yoga that you are doing online, and I understand also that at yoga, at Reva Yoga, they are doing a yoga class for other people who like to be yoga instructors.
We do.
Yes.
There is like in person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Zara, we are holding a teacher training in person.
You?
Yes,
ah,
we do.
Amazing.
Now we are in the middle of the teacher training.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's again, this one is 200 hours and online as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is it's separate from the Reva, but I do offer online teacher training for those who wants to join online, or
mm-hmm.
if you are interested in person, definitely I would recommend to join us in
mm-hmm.
person.
What days are you at Reva Yoga?
When
are you teaching?
When I'm teaching, I am usually there on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
Okay, what times?
Lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
15, yes.
So today, I just want to say thank you for coming today here and not having your yoga class.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It was such a pleasure to be
yes.
here.
Before we wrap up our wrap-up question, which is what would you recommend a friend who is moving to a new place in the world? Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover already?
We covered everything.
Cool.
And I just want to say to all people in Taranaki, especially in New Plymouth, I am so grateful and I am so thankful for all the for everything. It was just so nice to be a part of this community.
Mm. And hopefully you will be still part of this community.
Yes, I hope so.
Are you planning to go somewhere else, or you want to
Stay
really here in Taranaki for longer?
It depends on my husband, job,
mm-hmm.
definitely. So I'm going wherever he goes.
So you're just following, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So probably we will move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not so far.
Not
definitely
so far,
we are going to
okay.
stay in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yes, but as much as we can have you, you know, go and join Yasi at the Reva Yoga and enjoy her classes, which I also do. And yeah, hopefully see you next time.
Hope so. Thank you.
With
so
more
much.
News, with more yoga teaching trainings.
Ah.
Can you tell us again where people can follow you? So Yasi,
YASAMAN Yasaman. Yasaman Yoga.
Yasaman Yoga.
Yes.
Okay. So for everyone who wants to meet Yasi, you can find her there, or also at Reva Yoga.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Thank
really
you
enjoyed
so much.
Conversation with you.
Yeah. So to go full circle, because we kind of started with what you did to fit in a new place, would you like to offer listeners a quick word about what you would recommend somebody that's making themselves at home in a new place?
I feel like that everyone would tell you this. Just put yourself out there.
Mm.
Like the only thing that, you know, you always feel like that, they might not accept me, or I can't find friends, or I can't do this or do that, but you can just go out, show up, and don't be afraid to ask people to
yes.
be your friend. You can invite people instead of waiting for them to invite you. This
yeah.
is what I do. I just invite people out.
You invite them out, right?
Yes, I do. I also invite them at my home.
Yes.
To my home, like, and I also cook Persian food for them.
Oh, that's
yes.
so nice.
So that's how it works. Like, when you are not from a country, you are the one who need to make an effort, because they all already have their family, friends, and their community. You are the one who need to make an effort to put yourself
mm-hmm.
out there. It's scary sometimes, but you can do this.
You can do it. If
yes.
not, if you can't do it, you can contact Yasi.
Yes.
She will tell you
contact
how.
Contact me. I'm going to be your friend.
All right. Well, thanks, Yasi. Thanks, Maria and Alina, for hosting us today. This has been Making Yourself at Home at Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. Enjoy the rest of the summer, Taranaki.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian,
thank
for
you.
Leading us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.